If you've been in our church or connected with us for any length of time, you know we have a message. We have a message called the gospel. We have a clear message. What did I want to do this morning? Is it an encouragement? Because starting next week, small groups, we want to think about scattering. And so what I want to do is, I've got a little thing I say, what you don't know can hurt you. Because we want to talk about knowing and knowing the gospel and knowing the message. And so what we want to do is looking at the gospel message this morning. Most of you know it. It's not anything new. We're going to talk about it. This is primarily an encouragement to every one of us to be encouraged to think about sharing our faith. I want to start out with a little quick story, which most of you, if you've known me for any length of time, you know this story. But and I've told it many times, but I want to use it as again as an encouragement and as a way to share my faith. Watch this. I want to tell you how I trusted Christ as my Savior. I was 19 years old. I was going to a school called Delta State in Cleveland, Mississippi. I lived in the athletic dorm. And one night I was in the dorm and I wandered into a Bible study. But let me give you background. I never went to church. Went to church once when I was six. I went to church once when I was 12. When I was 12, my twin sister and I went into a Sunday school class. I do remember they had donuts in between church and Sunday school. That was the one good thing about the church. But in that, I have been to church maybe one time when I was 6 years old. Now I'm 12 years old. And in the Sunday school class, they said, now we're all going to pray. And they were going around the room, and the teacher had each child pray. And I knew it was coming to me eventually, right? And I had never prayed. As far as I knew, I never really prayed. I never prayed in public. I never prayed in front of anybody else. I didn't even know how to pray. And I'm thinking to myself, if I could get out of this room right now, I would never come back. And so I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And I listened to this guy right here. He prayed something. And so I prayed exactly what he prayed. And my twin sister prayed exactly what I prayed. And I told my mother and daddy, I'm not going back in there. And they said, okay. And we never went back. And so if you'd have said to me, JB, do you think if when you die, you would go to heaven? I would say, yes. And here's why. You have to do two things in order to go to heaven. You have to believe there's a God, and you have to do more good than bad. That's what I thought. I pictured one day you'd stand before God. He's on a big throne somewhere. That's what everybody said. And you'll stand before him, and he'll say, okay, here's all your bads. Here's all your goods. If your goods are greater than your bads, it balances out that you got more good than bad. You get to go to heaven. And I said, I've done a lot more goods than bads. In fact, I didn't get into trouble. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. That was what was bad in my day, and I didn't do that. And my mom and daddy always knew where I was. And so I felt like overall, if I did something what I thought was wrong, I made sure I did some goods so to balance this thing out and to have more goods than bad. So if you say, you think you're going to heaven, I would say, I'm pretty sure I am. Why? Because I've done more good than bad. That night, I wandered into a Bible study. I didn't know it was a Bible study. If I'd known it was a Bible study, I wouldn't have gone in the door. But there were some guys in the room, and I walked down the hall, and they went, Bon, come in. I went, yeah, I'll go in. And I was standing there by this dresser, and all of a sudden, a man, he was 26 years old, but you know, when you're 19, you're a 26-year-old guy, he's out of college, he's some man or something. Anyway, this man shuts the door. So I can't go out the door. And on the back of the door is a blackboard. And all of a sudden, I thought, wait a minute. He shut the door. And he looked to the group and said, okay, now we're going to talk about Christ. And I thought, oh, my gracious alive. I have wandered into a Bible study. I hope they don't make me pray. You know, what do I do? And I couldn't leave because I said, if I leave, they'll think I don't believe in God. And remember, to go to heaven, you believe in God and do more good than bad. And that night, a guy named Ken Shepherd was teaching the Bible study, and he said, you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I said, yep, I believe that. And then he said, the wages of sin is, what is it? Yes. But I didn't know that. What did I think it was? How do you deal with a sin? You do a good. So in my mind, before he could say anything, he said, the wages of sin is, and in my mind said, do good. But he didn't say do good. He said death. And then he went on to explain that every sin, any sin, resulted in death, and all the good, and anything you could do could not measure up to that. And all of a sudden, I realized that all the good I'd ever done could not pay for one bad. He went on to talk about Jesus and how Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, and that if you believe in him, you have eternal life. And after the Bible study that night, on the way to get a hamburger, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Okay, the reason I want to tell you all that is because, you know, there are a lot of people out there who don't know how to have eternal life. There are a lot of people who believers, who are believers, who have eternal life that don't know how to tell somebody else how to have eternal life. And so for us in this room, not only do I want to make sure every one of you know that you have eternal life by faith alone in Christ alone, but that you could share your faith. So that's the knowing. And so as we think about this, we want to look at two things. And we're going to go pretty quickly, and I didn't give you a handout sheet because almost every one of you in this room, if you've been church here for any length of time, you know this, or you should be signing up for the 412 or the 22, which both of those courses next semester are going to go over and make sure you know these things. We're going to talk about two things, knowing the gospel, which is the message, and knowing some methods to share the gospel, which deals with the messengers. And let me tell you, what you don't know can hurt. If you don't know the gospel, you may not have eternal life. Because see, I thought I had eternal life, but I didn't because I didn't know the message. And then second, if you don't know the methods, if you don't know how to share your faith, then how is anyone going to have, how can you share your faith with somebody else? So let's talk about knowing the gospel. And this deals with the message. The word gospel actually means good news. That's what it is. So we've got a good news message. We don't have a message that tells people you better get your act together. We don't tell people that. We tell them we got good news for you. Good news message, Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about Jesus Christ. So when we think of the gospel, now turn to 1 Corinthians. I didn't tell you that already. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want you to see this. And for many of you in this room, you're saying, I already know this. And so here's what I want to ask you. If you think you already know it, could you come up here and teach this for me? Not that you couldn't, but you might say, well, I think I know it, but I'm not sure I know it well enough to teach it. We all ought to know it well enough to what? To teach it, to pass it on, to make people help people understand it. So we're going to talk about two things. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to talk about the gospel message. What is the good news message? The response. What do we want people to do with this message? That's what we want to see. So let's look at the gospel, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 1. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and says, now I make known to you, brethren, what? The gospel which I preach to you. So we're going to talk about the gospel message. It's found really in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Let's look at it, because when we talk about the gospel message, and this is the message you tell people, it's actually two parts, okay? Look at what it is. Look at verse 3, and here's part 1. Christ died for our sins. Notice, it says this, for I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received, what? That Christ died for our sins, what? According what? To the scriptures. So the first thing I want you to understand is that Christ died for our sins. Now, why did he die? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Christ died for whose sins? Our sins. Our sins. See, he didn't sin. He was a sinless Lamb of God, spotless Lamb of God. So Jesus Christ died in our place. Is that right? It's called substitution. Jesus Christ died for us. It says according to the scripture. Now, the scripture is not New Testament, because when Paul wrote this, most of the New Testament wasn't written. So when he said according to the scripture, the Bible tells us that the Messiah, the Christ, would die for the sins of mankind according to the scripture. What scripture? Well, it's Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. The Lord had laid on him our sins. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions. So the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, said the Messiah would die for our sins. Okay? 1 John 2:2, he is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but what? The sins of what? Sins of the entire world. So I want you to understand something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins, he paid for the sins of every human being. So part one of the good news message is that what? Jesus Christ died for our what? Sins. He died for us. Now, I want you to see something else. There's a proof that he died, and that was what? They buried him. Notice. It says, I deliver to you of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried. You don't bury live people, you bury dead people. So part one of the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ. He died for us to pay for our sins. There is a part two of the gospel, and it is this. Christ rose on the third day. And it says, according to the Scripture. Notice what it says. And he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So Jesus died to pay for sin, and then he rose to do what? To conquer death. So Jesus Christ rose on the third day. Let me ask you something. Did people understand when Jesus said he was going to die and rise again, that they understood that he was going to die and rise again? Some of the disciples didn't, but some of the religious leaders did. After Jesus died, they went right to Pilate and said, we need to get a guard on there because he said he was going to come back after 3 days and we want to make sure that nobody comes and steals the body. That's why they put guards. So whether the apostles or disciples actually understood that Jesus was going to rise from the grave, the religious leaders knew that that's what Jesus said he was going to do. Part one of the gospel, Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, Isaiah 53, proof that he died, they buried him. Part two of the gospel is that Christ rose on the third day according to the, what scripture? It's Psalm 16:10. It says, the Messiah will not see corruption. His body will not stay in the grave. That's Psalm 16, verse 10. So when you think about the gospel is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what was the proof that he rose? You know what it was? He was seen. Look what it says. He says, according to the scripture, verse 5, and he appeared to who? Who's Cephas? That's Peter. Then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to 500 brethren at one time. Most of them are still alive. Some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. That's his brother and half-brother. And then to all the apostles. And then last of all, Paul says he appeared to me. So what was the proof that he rose? They saw him. Exactly. 500 people saw him at one time. 500 people. It's pretty hard to fool 500 people at one time. I mean, you might get fooled if you're by yourself, but when there's 500 people, that's the difference. So what is the gospel? The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay for sin. He rose again to conquer death. And he did that for every person. I want you to understand that. Does every person have their sins paid for, past, present, and future? Answer is yes. Will every person be raised from the dead to exist for all time? Yes. Either with Jesus Christ called eternal life or separated from Christ called the second death or the lake of fire or a lot of people say hell. Okay? So we got it, right? Jesus died to pay for sin and rose again to conquer death. That is the good news message. So if somebody said to you, make sure you present the gospel, you're going to tell people Jesus died and paid for sin and rose again to conquer death. Now, a lot of times people will say, here's the good news, Jesus died for you. That's true, but that's what? That's only half the message. Be clear. Give the whole message. Don't just say, Jesus died for you. Say, died and rose again. Because according to 1 Corinthians 15, if he didn't rise again, the message doesn't count. Okay? Now, the second part is, what is the response? What do we want people to do? We want them to believe in Christ for eternal life. We want them to believe. We want them to trust in Christ for eternal life. We want them to believe in him. Now, some people say, just believe he died and rose again. It's a little more than that. It's not just believing that he existed and he died and rose again. It is to believe in him as Savior. It is to believe in him that he will give you eternal life. 1 Timothy 1:16 says at the very end, Paul says he was an example of those who would believe in Christ for eternal life. For eternal life. So there it is. We believe in Christ for eternal life. The offer is to believe in Christ for eternal life. I've had people say, if you believe in Jesus, you'll have a good life. He's not offering you a good life. You may have a good life. The offer is not a good life. The offer is eternal life. Just remember that. John 3:16, what does it say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him has what? Eternal life. Never perish, but have eternal life. Now, the key in the Bible is faith. From the very beginning, from Adam and Eve on, all the way through, it's always by faith. 98 times in the Gospel of John, we are saved by faith. Over 160 times in the New Testament, it says you are saved by faith. So salvation is not based on works or goodness or righteousness or anything. It's not based on having more good than bad. It is faith alone in Christ for eternal life. That's what it is. It's that simple. Now, people have mixed it up forever. I mean forever. In fact, to be honest with you, it is rare to hear anybody give it clearly. It's rare to hear it clear. And so when you hear it clear, you think, it doesn't sound right to me because that's not what I've heard all my life. Well, that's because you hadn't heard a clear one all your life. So let's think about it. Jesus died and rose again, and you're believing in him for eternal life. The key is faith, and it's always faith. And sometimes you hear people say things like, ask Jesus into your heart, give your life to Jesus, repent of your sins, get baptized, walk down an aisle, make the public profession. All of those are works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So be real careful when people start adding things to what a person does. We believe. Let me show you something. We have what I call front-loading and back-loading the gospel. Front-loading is where you put things on the front end that people have to do in order to be saved. Be baptized, give him your life, do this, make a commitment to Christ, do these kind of things. And there are very well-meaning people who will say, well, you need to make a commitment. What does that mean? Commit your life to Christ? Is it a swap process? I'll give you my life, you'll give me salvation? What is salvation? Is salvation a gift or is it salvation something I do to get? So grace means unmerited what? Favor. Given freely, not based on what we do. So front-loading the gospel is when people say things like you need to be baptized, you need to join a church, you need to give your life to Jesus, you need to be willing to serve him, you need to do those. All that's front-loading. Back-loading the gospel is when people might even say, well, it's faith in Christ, but. And they always have a but. And the but is, but you got to serve him. Or else you're not what? You're not saved. Or else if you don't serve him, you're going to lose your salvation and those kind of things. And so it's works on the back end. That's why I call it front loading and back loading. Front loading is works on the front end. Back loading is works on the back end. And both are wrong. Salvation is a gift simply by what? Faith and faith alone. So don't mix it up. We have the greatest, clearest message that could ever be. It is faith alone in Christ alone. So, think about this. We must know the gospel because not knowing can hurt you. Not knowing the way of salvation, you may not know how to have eternal life. And think about this. Jesus said, I'm the what? The way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. It's not a church that saves you. It's not a messenger that saves you. It is Jesus Christ who is the Savior. He gives you eternal life. So let me just say it this way. I know everybody in this room, but my question might be this. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life? Have you trusted in him and him alone? It's not your works. It's not your goodness. But you have believed in Christ to give you eternal life. I hope and pray every one of you in this room. Second is, do you know, are you clear on the message, on what you want to proclaim? That takes us to a second part, and we're going to go pretty quickly on this. It's what we call knowing methods, okay? Knowing the methods. And this deals with us. This is how do we tell people, if you don't know a method, if you don't know a way to share your faith, how are you going to share your faith? It's important that each of us know clearly how to share the good news. Do you have a method? If you had an opportunity, I want to share this story, and I tell it a lot, and Jean knows this story because I wasn't married to her then, so this is okay. But what happened, I was flying back and forth from Dallas to Amarillo. I did that every week. And one Friday, I got on the airplane, and as I got on the airplane, there was a girl sitting by the window, and I just came in, and I sat down, but the people were coming in. It was really crowded at Southwest Airlines. So back in those days, you just ran and got in a seat. So I got a seat, and another girl sat right there. So I thought, this is not a bad trip. You know, this is not a bad trip. Sorry, baby. I wouldn't want to do that now. I would be upset if that happened to me now. So anyway, this girl, there's one by the window, and this girl right here, she says to me, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm going to Dallas Seminary. I'm going to seminary, and I'm flying back and forth. I'm like a youth pastor at this church. And she says, oh, I just came from, and it was like a sort of a retreat or a camp. It was a camp. And she was talking about how people had trusted Christ and they had, you know, made professions of faith and stuff like that. And so I said, well, that's fantastic. And so we kind of talked for a second. This little girl never said anything. And then just like 5 minutes into this thing, I feel this tap on my shoulder. And I went, yeah. And she said, listen, I hear y'all talking. I've heard people talking about being saved. I don't know how to be saved. Could you tell me how I could be saved? I went, I think I can. Well, let me ask you something. What if somebody, and it won't be that easy, but what if somebody said to you, listen, this idea of y'all going to talk about church and life and salvation and the Bible, I don't understand any of that. Could you tell me? Could you tell them? Do you have a method? Do you have a way to share your faith? Well, here's what I want to do. I'm going to do this real quickly. There are four ways that at our church we teach people how to do this. You'll find this at the 412. You'll find this at the 22. You'll find this in some other Bible studies. But we have what we call bad news, good news, the bridge, testimony, and what we call one verse. Let me just hit on something for you real quickly, and I'm not going into detail because we've got a lot of other stuff to cover. But let me get back there. Go. The bad news, good news starts off with the bad news. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The bad news gets worse. The wages of sin is death. Good news is Jesus Christ died and rose again to pay for sin. The good news gets even better. You can be saved by faith. That's the whole bad news, good news message. You only have to have four verses. That's a good way to share it. The bridge is where you take Romans 6:23. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On one side you draw, this is a visual one, you draw on one side a person and you go wages of sin, death, and over here you go of gift to God, eternal life, and then the bridge is Jesus Christ, it's through Christ, and that's a good way to do it. A third way to share your faith is the testimony, and that's what I did at the start. The reason I gave my testimony, even though many of you who have known me for years know my testimony, it is a great way to clearly present the gospel to somebody else. And you can say to them, would you like me to tell you how I came to know Christ as my Savior? And you tell them. You see, Paul did it twice in the book of Acts. Two different times he stood before kings, and both times he told about his salvation on the road to Damascus. So it's a good method. The last one is what I call one-verse evangelism, and almost everybody knows John 3:16. And if you just say, I know John 3:16, you can share your faith with anyone. Because you start off and you just say, you know, God loved the world. God loved us. The world lets us. God so loved us. What did he do? He gave his son. What do you mean he gave his son? His son left the glories of heaven to become a person. And his son did what? He died on the, to do what? Pay for sin. And then he rose again to conquer death. So we gave his son to come die for us, pay for our sins, and rise again. That's right there. Isn't that it? You know that, right? And then what does it say? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whoever, who is that? Anybody that whoever believes. It's not works. It's not offering this or giving this or doing that. It is whoever believes. It's simply faith alone. Whoever believes. See, Jesus Christ died for every person and rose again for every person. Hebrews 2:9, he tasted death for every man. 1 John 2:2, he's the satisfactory payment. So whoever believes in him will what? Not what? Not perish, not be separated, but have what? Eternal life. What's the offer? Eternal life is the offer. Every one of you in this room, you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. You have what? Eternal life. You have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ forever. He will never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? He's with you here. When he comes in the clouds, he's going to come get you and you're going to be with him. He says, thus you'll always be with me. There's never going to be a time we'll be separated from him. We have life eternal with Jesus Christ. So that's the four methods. Now, you can take some of the classes and we go a lot more details. If you said, I can't take a class, but I want to be confident. I want to know one of these methods, and I want to make sure I know one of these methods. You call me, I'll meet with you anytime, and we'll go through these different ways so that you can feel confident that you can share your faith. Now, I want you to think of this. Why is it so important? Why is it so important that we know the gospel, the death and resurrection of Christ, and the response to believe in him? Why is it so important that we have a method or several methods that we can feel confidently in sharing our faith? Why is it so important? Well, first, God commands us to share our faith. He commands us. The Great Commission, go ye therefore and make disciples. Making disciples is evangelism and training. It is sharing our faith and leading people to Christ and then training and equip them. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech through us. We get to share. We get to represent Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. So God actually says, I've left you on this earth. I didn't leave you on this earth to do your thing. I left you on this earth to do my thing. And my thing is to proclaim the message to make disciples. So God commands us to share our faith. Second, the gospel is the only means of salvation for mankind. We're in a pluralistic society. Everybody's got their own ideas. We're just the same time at the time of the judges when every man did what was right in their own eyes. And so many people would say there are many ways to God. There are not many ways to God. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. It is only by faith alone and Christ alone that we are saved. And so John 14:6, Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name given among men under heaven by which we might be saved. This is the only way of salvation. There are not a bunch of ways. There are not all, you know, there's not one God and many religions that reach the same God. It's not true. It's not true. Religion is man trying to do something to get to God. Christianity is God pleasing God. It's the only way of salvation, to take people from death to life, from darkness to light, from Satan to God. The third thing, why it's so important, is people need to know they are saved. They need to know it. When people put their faith in Christ and they trust in him for eternal life, they need to know they're saved, because there's whole bunches of people out there who may have trusted Christ as Savior, but they are so confused, and the message that told them about Jesus, even if they trusted him, is so confusing, is they're not even sure they're saved. 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? You may know that you have eternal life. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that you've trusted Christ, that you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you have eternal life. Why? It goes back to Jesus. You trusted in him. He promised you eternal life, and you'll never perish. And so there are all kind of people out there. I've told you stories of talking with people, and I talked to one little old lady in the hospital one time, and I said, now, you've put your faith in Christ. She said, oh, yeah, I've trusted Christ. I said, so you have eternal life. Oh, I hope so. What? No. You trusted in Christ. What did he give you when you trusted in him? She said, eternal life. I said, so you have eternal life. I hope so. Listen, if you've trusted in Christ for eternal life, what do you have? Eternal life. And you can know that you're saved. You know that you're saved because you've trusted in Christ. You don't know whether you're saved by your lifestyle, because you don't know whether your lifestyle is any good or not. Sometimes your lifestyle is good, sometimes it's bad. If you look the lifestyle, you can never know. And there are a lot of people today who are teaching people the way you know you're saved is you look at your lifestyle to see if you're living right. I know saved people who aren't living right, and I know unsaved people who are living right. You can't look at lifestyle to determine salvation. You go back to Jesus Christ and him alone, and faith in him. Now, I've got just several things I want you to think through in this last part, and that is this. Let's know the message that and the response that we're to proclaim. What's the message called? It's called the what? It's called the what? The gospel. It's two parts. What's part one? Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. What Scripture? Isaiah 53. What was the proof that he died? They buried him, okay? What was part two of the gospel? He rose again on the, according to the Scripture. Okay, what's the Scripture that said he's going to rise? Psalm 16:10. What was the proof that he rose? The people saw him. So listen, y'all, you should know this so well that you can say, look, here's the gospel. Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture. Scripture is Isaiah 53, the proof that he died, that they buried him. He rose again on the third day according to Scripture, Psalm 16:10. And the proof that he rose is they saw him. You don't have to go into all that, but the main part is Jesus died and rose again. That's the good news message. What's the response? See, it says, no, the message and response. What's the response? To believe in him for eternal life. Be clear. We had an evangelist come in. This is years and years and years ago. I'm talking over 25 years ago. And he's a famous evangelist, and he came to this town, and several people asked, some people said, well, you want to help? And I said, I'll be glad to help. And when he gave his message of salvation, it was, Jesus will help you get through college. Jesus will help you have a good life. He never said, Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. If you believe in him, you have eternal life. Never gave the message. So, know the message and the response. Second, know the methods. Whether it's bad news, good news, or whether it's bridge, or whether it's your testimony, or whether it's John 3. Let me tell you, I used to do bad news, good news all the time. And then sometimes I'd do the testimony. But lately, what I've been doing when I share my faith, I just do John 3:16, because it's real easy. You know, it's only one verse, and most of us know it, right? In fact, that's the only verse that I sort of knew before I became a Christian. Okay? So know a method. Third thing, pray for opportunities. And let's get really specific. Here's what you need to do. You need to get a little book. get one of those little books and take it and say, people. And you start thinking, okay, who do I come in contact with daily or weekly? And there may be somebody that you work with, and your point is, I don't know if they know Christ or not. They may already be a Christian. We don't know. Pray that you'll have an opportunity to talk to them. You may put number two down, and it may be somebody you know is not a Christian. Pray for the opportunity. You write down names of people and say to the Lord, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to talk to these people? Some of them may be Christians already. I don't even know. I just want to have an opportunity. Now, let me just say this. If you do that, guess what? He's going to give you the opportunity, so you better go ahead and get the methods and all that stuff ready before you get to number three. Kind of do these in order, okay? Because if you just say, Lord, give me opportunities, he's going to give you opportunities. So get a little book and begin to pray for people. And there are some people that I've prayed for. I've prayed for some people, a particular person, for close to 35 years, and they've not trusted Christ, and I hope they do. I prayed for opportunities to talk to certain people. And I guarantee you, sometimes you pray for opportunities and they come. That's why number four is big. Number four is look for the opportunities. Let me tell you this. We walk out this door. During this week, there are going to be countless opportunities out there. What's happening normally is we just go right past them. We don't even think about it. So when you pray for the opportunities, begin to look for the opportunities. Begin to look and see, well, is this person open? What are they doing? Hey, thanks for coming over to our table. Or, you know, if you're, I mean, waitresses, I talk to waitresses. You know, you go to the same restaurant and it's the same people and you get to know them. And sometimes you might say, hey, listen, you know, you've been at our table for, we see you all the time. Let me ask you a question. Right? So, you know what we're afraid of? That they get mad at us. We're afraid that they won't like us anymore. We're afraid that they'll be upset because we want to share our faith with them. Aren't we? Be honest. You say, well, this guy's kind of a friend, and I'm afraid if I start talking about this stuff, he might not agree with it, and he might be mad, and then we won't be friends anymore. So we'd rather be friends than them go to hell, right? So the bottom line is pray for the opportunities, look for the opportunities. Now, here's one, okay? Seek to persuade. What I mean by that is this. You're telling them the greatest message of all time, that Jesus died and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. It's not, here's this message, take it or leave it. You know, some people believe this, some don't. You know, no, listen. Paul said, we persuade men. Paul said that we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were begging through us. When you come to somebody and you talk to them, say, listen, Jesus died for you. If you trust in him, you can have eternal life. Is that one of the things we teach people is you end with your message by saying, is there anything stopping you from trusting Christ right now? So give them that opportunity. Persuade them. In fact, I've got verses right here. That's just verses where it talks about persuading people, persuading people. And last but not least, God gets all the glory. After I trusted Christ, I was really fired up for about 4 months. And I would actually go to the library at Delta State. I'd go into the library. I'd see people. I didn't even know these people. And I'd go up and I'd say, hey, can I borrow you? Just a second, let me ask you a question. I put my hands on the... If you were to die, would you go to heaven? And a lot of people would say, well, I don't know. And I said, can I tell you? I got to talk to a lot of people. Some people said, I'm busy studying, don't bother me. Okay, you know, I mean, whatever, right? But I remember one time I came back and a guy named Ray Bridges and I, who I just saw about 2 weeks ago, a good friend of mine, we were coming back from the library and we'd been talking to people about Christ. And Nap Clark, who many of you know is the guy that helped lead me to Christ, and he was at the athletic dorm. He was just coming out of the dorm as we were coming in. And Nap said, hey, where y'all been? And I said, we've been over at the library, Nap, saving people. And Nap said, well, Jesus is saving them. You're just giving them the message, right? See, who gets all the glory? Jesus gets all the glory. See, it's Jesus who left the glories of heaven. It's Jesus who died on the cross to pay for our sins. It's Jesus who rose again to conquer death. It's Jesus who gives to us eternal life. He gets all the glory. And so when we think about things like this, just remember, he gets all the glory. So great stuff. Remember these things. I hope and pray that if it just encourages us a little bit, that when we go out these doors, We're going into this community with the message of the death and resurrection of Christ, and whoever believes in him have eternal life, and they can know they have eternal life, and Jesus gets all the glory.